This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting for the report in this first week of June, 2024. We are a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. Thank you. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an inspiration to bring you this weekly briefing. The church is called to be the moral and the cultural conscience of the nation. We can't, we mustn't just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. Here on the report, we're hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith into the culture, so that we may better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, winsome, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. Brothers and sisters, the idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls for Christ. Big news of the week. A New York jury finding President Donald Trump guilty on 34 counts of falsifying business records in connection with hush money payments to Stormy Daniels in the lead-up to the 2016 election. Unprecedented charges in a presidential election year brought by prosecutor attorney Alvin Bragg, Manhattan District Attorney, and presided over by Judge Juan Merchan. Many arguing that it amounts to election interference. Many seeing it as an improper weaponization of the legal system. Turning to page 2 of the report, this last week, Louisiana reporting that it has become the first state in the country requiring the Ten Commandments to be posted in public schools. Louisiana will become the first state to require the Ten Commandments be displayed in all schools and colleges that receive public funding in the state of Louisiana. All this assuming that Governor Jeff Landry will sign the new bill into law. Louisiana lawmakers gave the bill final approval this past Tuesday with a 79-16 vote in the state House of Representatives. Other states, including Texas, South Carolina, and Utah, have recently attempted similar legislation. These efforts seem to have been given momentum by the Supreme Court rulings in cases like Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, which indicated a looser interpretation of the Constitution's Establishment Clause, the clause that prevents state-sponsored religion. This new Louisiana law is likely to receive legal challenge. The statement noted the bill requires a specific version of the Ten Commandments and that displays departing from it would violate state law. Turning to page 3 on the report in this first week of June 2024. Last week it was reported that Russia started exercises to simulate the launch of tactical nuclear weapons. Reuters reporting that Russian forces have started the first stage of exercises ordered by President Vladimir Putin to simulate preparation for the launch of tactical nuclear weapons. Moscow has linked the exercises to what it calls militant statements by Western officials, which it said created security threats for Russia. Nuclear analysts saying that these exercises are designed as a warning signal by Putin to deter the West from wading more deeply into the war in Ukraine. Tactical, or what they call non-strategic nuclear weapons are less powerful than the strategic arms designed to wipe out entire cities. Nevertheless, these tactical nuclear weapons have vast destructive potential. Talking about nuclear weapons, is this how the world will end? The end of civilization? Massive number of nukes dropped on civilian centers? With no pause button? A nuclear holocaust? A global nuclear winter? The conclusion, the only way to win is to not play. But the clock continues ticking, ticking towards midnight. The scale of devastation is unimaginable. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The Cold War led to nuclear stockpiles, an arms race. They talked about mutually assured destruction. Is it all worth it? The strategy appears irresponsible, really. Is it worth the gamble? How far are we from mutually assured destruction? Since the early 1950s, the U.S. government has spent trillions of dollars preparing to fight a nuclear war, while also refining protocols meant to keep the U.S. government functioning after the possibility of an apocalyptic-scale nuclear holocaust. The plans for general nuclear war are among the most classified secrets held by the U.S. government. There is no such thing as a small nuclear war. A 1 megaton thermonuclear weapon detonation begins with a flash of light and heat so tremendous it is impossible for the human mind to comprehend. 180 million degrees Fahrenheit. 4 or 5 times hotter than the temperature that occurs at the center of the sun. Humans created the nuclear weapon in the 20th century, supposedly to save the world from evil. And now, in the 21st century, the nuclear weapon seems poised to destroy the world, to burn it all down. For all these years, since the end of World War II, the U.S. government has been preparing for and rehearsing plans for what they call general nuclear war. A nuclear World War III, that is guaranteed to leave at minimum 2 billion dead. The plan for general nuclear war. Genocide. 4,000 times more explosive power than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. It's hard for the human brain to even comprehend. Can anyone stop the plan before it happens? What happened after Hiroshima and the end of World War II? War planners, U.S. war planners, saw that megatons of nuclear weapons could instantly destroy enemy cities. What came next was a mad rush, a scramble to stockpile thermonuclear weapons. First by the hundreds, and then by the thousands. By 1952, there were 841 nuclear bombs on the planet. The next year, 1169. One historian explained it this way: the process for making nuclear bombs became industrialized. They were not science projects anymore. By 1954, there were 1,703 nuclear weapons in the stockpile. The U.S. military industrial complex was now churning out, on average, 1.5 nuclear weapons per day. By 1955, almost 2 bombs per day, with a stockpile of 2,422 nuclear bombs. By 1956, 3,692 nuclear bombs. The numbers continuing to escalate. production levels soaring. And these mass destruction weapons, now coming off the assembly lines at an average pace of 3.5 nuclear bombs per day. By 1957, there were 5,543 bombs in the U.S. stockpile. That's 1,851 new nuclear weapons in a single year, and the numbers kept growing. 1958, 7,345, and growing. 1959, 12,298. And by 1960, the U.S. stockpile contained 18,638 nuclear bombs. The number reaching an all-time high of 31,255 nuclear bombs reached in 1967. That's 31,255 nuclear bombs. Why stockpile so many nuclear bombs when a single one of them dropped on New York or Moscow could leave some 10 million people dead? Why? Why continue to mass produce thousands of these weapons when the use of a single thermonuclear bomb will almost certainly ignite a wider, unstoppable, civilization-ending nuclear war? The number of nuclear weapons in the U.S. stockpile today is smaller than it was in 1967, but there are still 1,770 deployed nuclear weapons on what they call ready for launch status. Russia has 1,674 reported deployed nuclear weapons, also a majority of which are on ready for launch status. In 1985, former President Ronald Reagan cautioned the world by saying a nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought. The prospect of a nuclear Armageddon, however, remains terrifyingly high. Here we are, perhaps even closer than ever before. A worst-case scenario. Beyond comprehension, really. There is no way to win a nuclear war. It simply happens too fast. The speed at which nuclear war will unfold, then escalate, all but guarantees that it will end in nuclear holocaust. Today, 9 countries possess nuclear weapons. The United States, Russia, France, China, the United Kingdom, Pakistan, India, Israel, and North Korea. In the case of North Korea, one MIT professor calculated the math as 33 minutes. That's right, 33 minutes that it would take a nuclear weapon to travel from North Korea to the Western United States. Launch to target time frame from North Korea to the Western United States, 33 minutes. Launch on warning. America keeping a majority of its deployed nuclear arsenal on ready for launch status. A hair trigger alert. Launch on warning, a key aspect of nuclear war planning. In place since the height of the Cold War. Also, incredibly high risk. One former presidential advisor labeled it inexcusably dangerous. That launch on warning during a tense time of crisis is a recipe for catastrophe. High alert, high trigger status. A vestige of the Cold War. Some saying it's no longer necessary, but the high alert, high trigger status for U.S. nuclear weapons remains so. No change has been made. Barack Obama echoed his concern regarding this policy during his campaign, saying keeping nuclear weapons ready to launch at a moment's notice is a dangerous relic of the Cold War. Such policies increase the risk of catastrophic accidents or miscalculation. But President Obama made no change, and the same goes for President Biden, who took office and was urged by one physicist that he should end the launch on warning option and the danger it entails of an unintended nuclear Armageddon. But like his predecessors, President Biden has made no change to this ready to launch on a moment's notice policy. So decades later, we're still here with launch on warning in effect. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about nuclear Armageddon. Not a worst case scenario, but the worst case scenario. The unthinkable. The ramifications regarding nuclear war are almost impossible to comprehend. Nuclear war is unprecedented. Yet over the decades since we've had nuclear weapons, there have been several significant false alarms. As former President Ronald Reagan lamented in his memoirs, he wrote, 6 minutes to decide how to respond to a blip on a radar scope and decide whether to release Armageddon. How could anyone apply reason at a time like that? Wrote former President Ronald Reagan in his memoirs. In 2022, Japan's defense minister publicly confirmed that North Korea possessed an intercontinental ballistic missile, the Hwasong-17, which can travel up to 9,320 miles from its launch site, far enough to reach the continental United States. To err is human. But machines also make mistakes. Systems that have been responsible for several near-catastrophic false alarms. It's reported that once in the 1950s, early warning radars interpreted a flock of swans as a fleet of Russian MiG fighters jets en route to the United States by way of the North Pole. In October of 1960, computers at a ground radar site in Greenland misread the rising moon over Norway as being radar returns from 1,000 attacking ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. And again in 1979, a simulation test tape mistakenly inserted into a NORAD computer system deceived analysts into thinking the US was under attack by Russian nuclear-armed ICBMs and nuclear ballistic submarines. Interestingly, the U.S. president, as odd as this may seem, has the sole authority to launch America's nuclear weapons. The president asks permission of no one. Not the Secretary of Defense, not the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, not Congress. In 2021, the Congressional Research Service published a review to confirm that the decision to launch nuclear weapons is the president's and the president's alone. The Congressional Research Service report said the following, quote, "The authority is inherent in the president's role as commander-in-chief. The president does not need the concurrence of either his or her military advisors or the U.S. Congress to order the launch of nuclear weapons." You've probably heard about the president's emergency briefcase, a handheld aluminum and leather bag known as the football that is to remain with the president at all times. Inside this briefcase, the football, are papers that are arguably the single most highly classified set of documents in the U.S. government, called the Presidential Emergency Action Documents, executive orders and messages that can be put into effect the moment an emergency scenario, like a nuclear attack, comes to pass. The nuclear football, the president's emergency briefcase. highly classified set of documents designed to implement an extraordinary presidential authority in response to extraordinary situations. Inside this emergency briefcase, the football is a set of documents known as the Black Book, containing a list of nuclear strike options that a U.S. president must choose from to commence nuclear war. Details of some of the items contained in the football have been leaked. Details including what nuclear weapons to use, what targets to hit, and what are the estimated casualties that will result. Before the president can launch nuclear weapons, he must move the status of U.S. forces to Defense Readiness Condition 1. Maximum readiness, immediate response, prepare for nuclear war. Thankfully, the U.S. military has never been raised to DEFCON 1, at least not as far as the public has been made aware. During the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, U.S. forces were placed at DEFCON 2, meaning war involving nuclear weapons was presumed to be imminent. The President's Nuclear Decisions Handbook, the Black Book, the President's Football for discussing nuclear options. It's also said that the president carries with him in his wallet at all times a laminated card with nuclear codes. At all times, carrying what they call in national security terms, the biscuit. There are also continuity of operations plans, continuity of government programs. In the words of former Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, the survivors will envy the dead. Another element of potential nuclear war are submarines. The most survivable aspect of what they call a nuclear triad. Submarines would be able to preserve their communication systems using lower frequency radio wave technology, subsurface radio systems. The second reason nuclear submarines are a key element is because they cannot easily be located. One expert says that it's easier to find a grapefruit-sized object in space than a nuclear submarine at sea. Nuclear-armed, nuclear-powered submarines, a nightmare weapon system, an object as dangerous to human existence as an incoming asteroid. These submarines are called many things: boomers, vessels of death, nightmare machines, handmaidens of the apocalypse, unlocatable and armed to the teeth. Each of the 14 Ohio-class submarines in the U.S. arsenal can empty itself of up to 80 nuclear warheads in a minute and a half, and then disappear. It is reported that Russia maintains a fleet of approximate parallel capacity. Undetectable under the sea, they can sneak up very close to a nation's coast and launch a first strike attack, lowering launch to impact time from approximately 30 minutes to just a fraction of that. In reality, there is no defense against a nuclear-armed submarine. It's the speed with which these submarines can launch nuclear weapons that make them, in the words of one defense analyst, handmaidens of the apocalypse. All it takes is one nihilistic madman with a nuclear arsenal to start a nuclear war. A war no one can win. A ruler like the one in this scenario could include the leader of North Korea, whose family has managed to rule the country for decades, imposing totalitarian-style martial law and monitoring citizens for the tiniest hint of dissent. ordinary people have little idea, in North Korea, what life outside of North Korea is like. One North Korean defector said that he had never seen a map of the world. As an Asian, he said, he did not even know that he was Asian. The regime had told him that he was of the Kim Il-sung race, and that the calendar began when Kim Il-sung was born. Like other nations, North Korea has pursued atomic weapons during the Cold War, and in the 1990s, it began developing nuclear weapons. By 1994, the CIA had reported to President Clinton that North Korea had probably already produced one or two nuclear warheads. And despite efforts to make North Korea abandon their nuclear weapons program, the results were nil. By 2002, North Korea admitted it had been developing weapons for years, and by 2003, the first reactor was producing weapons-grade plutonium. In 2006, they tested their first bomb. In 2009, they successfully tested a second bomb. By 2016, North Korea now has thermonuclear weapons, much more powerful nuclear bombs. And by 2017, it is said that they engineered intercontinental ballistic missiles able to reach anywhere in the world. And very menacingly, North Korea is said to have a very unusual fleet of submarines, as many as 80 submarines, any one of which could carry thermonuclear weapons. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report in this first week of June, 2024. And now, a message from one of our friends, South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary has new programs designed just for you. Introducing a Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, and Doctor in Ministry. Aim high with a degree that sets you apart. Explore South Florida Bible College's diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, and counseling, from associate to doctoral levels, all available both online and on campus, embracing a multicultural and interdenominational community. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College will provide quality education at an affordable price. And with scholarship opportunities just a click away, nothing should stop you from pursuing your dreams. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, fully accredited and ready to serve you. Visit them online at sfbc.edu to learn more and apply today. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. And Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for having joined me on this week's report as we covered several items. We thank this live and local Christian radio station that carries our program every week. We are so, so thankful to you. Until next week, God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.
Hi, this is